Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports, live from Las Vegas. Our guest tonight, skid plate driver from the LVMS Bullring, Cindy Clark, with us here tonight. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Great. Thank you for being here, first of all. Also hosting tonight, the one and only J.J. Nunn. And he's smiling, so that's always a good thing.
AKA Lug Nut.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. And we'll get to that just a minute.
Wonder Woman is in the house. I couldn't be happier.
That's right. Of course, hosting tonight also the man on a mission, Gary Wyatt.
How are you guys doing?
What's happening? What's the latest
Thanks
mission,
for being
man?
Here. I can't tell you. It's a secret.
It's always a secret.
Yes.
We're always the last to know.
Yeah,
actually,
right.
You're probably always the last to know.
Yeah, I hate that.
But, of course, you mentioned Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Play the long. little Wonder Woman. Dates back to the original Wonder Woman. But, you mentioned Lug Nut.
Let's take Cindy over the original Wonder Woman.
Okay.
I'm happy with that.
Wait a minute.
I'm happy with that.
All right.
You've been here in a second.
Now you mentioned Lug Nut. Of course, Lug Nut is JJ.
Yes. Back in the day.
Now, let's talk about that real quick. I mean, you've actually know Cindy from way back.
Yeah, that's it. I was afraid to say that Cindy and I go back.
Just a couple years.
I looked at her right before we come on, and I'm like, 17 years
17
ago, we weren't
years.
Wearing glasses.
Wow, no way.
We weren't wearing readers. That's right.
It's true.
17? No. Yeah, 99. 2001.
Are you talking about the
radio show?
The show back the day at the track with
the day at the track
JJ back
with
the day.
G-Man. It was G-Man and Lugma and Cindy Clark. We had on George Antel, Lance Megan. You know, that's it. Just. I mean, you
hey,
were.
You know what, Lug Nut?
What?
Those guys all went on to do something bigger. What's ours?
Well, there's bigger and there's better. We're doing better things.
Well, I know George Anhill did. I'm not sure so sure about Langley.
Well, he got sponsored by Ford, and he did a bunch of off-road racing.
Yeah, lots
paid
of
for by Ford.
Yeah, lots of it.
Well, look at see. Ford man here, he's like awing over that right now.
Yeah.
What better sponsor than Ford, right?
Yeah.
I've always said I was a bomber driver and always be a bomber driver. I actually had to learn how to drive a bomber by stepping back and become a demo driver. Gary took me back to the beginning and say, okay, this is what we do in a demo. It's not what we do with a bomber, JJ. So I've always been a bomber, but a lot of people, you know, I'm happy Cindy's here tonight because right now people just know her as skid plate driver.
Right.
And what they don't know out there is how much talent Cindy had driving a super late line. So, you know, maybe we can get into that from the beginning, how this started, when did you get around race
packing? I mean, you're talking about day at the track with yourself, Lug Nut,
that
17 years ago.
Show.
Now, that doesn't mean Cindy started. You started probably before 17 years ago into racing. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Tell us about this is a Cindy Clark show tonight.
Yes.
Tell us about you. What where'd you start, and then how'd you end up with? We don't call JJ Lug Nuts. We got other names for him, but Lug Nuts being mild.
You can't say those on the radio.
Exactly, and we'll save those for off the show. But Cindy, tell us about your beginnings at the Bullring and into racing in general, man.
So I grew up in Monterey, California, next to Laguna Seca, and always went to those races and thought, you know, I'd be a really good road course racer.
Right.
And we were watching the Indy 500 one day, and someone said, well, if you like racing so much, why don't you race those modifieds out at Watsonville Speedway? And I'm like, Watsonville has a speedway?
You know, and that's usually the reaction of anybody that has a racetrack in their area. They're like, there's a racetrack around here?
About LVMS.
Exactly.
There's a racetrack
anywhere
here.
You go.
Yeah.
So what track was this again?
Watsonville Speedway.
Watsonville, okay.
It's a quarter-mile dirt track in the beautiful, moist soil of Central California. And I went out there, and I'm like, those guys are crazy. They're pitching their cars sideways. They're slinging mud. They're insane. I got to do that. I was in college, though, and broke. So
those two usually go together, college and broke.
So I told I have a younger brother, 2 years younger than me, and I said, Andy, you got to go check this out. They're insane. So he goes out there, and he's like, that looks like fun. We met another friend, and they started building they first bought a demolition derby car together, and I was their crew chief because I was still a broke college dude. And that went so well, they had to do the back then the beginner class was called a street stock, which is similar to the
bombers.
Division. No, actually, they're more like the stock. What are those?
Super
hobby
stocks.
Hobby
stocks, American stocks.
Later, they
stocks.
Added the American stocks, but it was like one up from the American stock.
Right.
And so they started with that. And so their first year racing, I was just the crew chief. And then there was a girl that raced out there. Her name was Kimberly Myers, and she drove a car.
Who elected you to be a crew chief, and how? How did that
come
about?
I'm the older
about?
Sister.
So you're just automatically, if you're older sister, brother, sibling, you're crew chief.
Yes. Well,
remember that, okay.
She wouldn't let me drive.
Okay, so if you're not a driver, you're a crew chief.
That is something.
Okay.
But I'm pretty organized with, you know, keeping track of the tire sizes and all that stuff. So.
Sounds like a crew chief job.
Yeah, someone's got to do it. Keeping dad away from the car. He's not mechanically inclined.
That's a good idea. Keeping dad away.
Go do that over here.
I love it. The most important job of a crew chief, keeping dad away from the car.
Yeah. And on mud, you're always scraping the mud off the car. So, you know, put a mud stick in his hand, then go scrape the mud off the car.
Give him something to do. Keep him busy.
And so this girl was driving, and she was maybe 85 pounds.
Wow.
And her car number was 65 Roses because she had cystic fibrosis.
Okay.
And that's how you teach kids how to say it. And she would use her car to inspire other children with cystic fibrosis to take care of themselves and not give up. And she was out there slinging the 3,500-pound car around, slinging dirt. Well, she won an award that year. It was like a hero award, and she got money.
That's
so
cool.
She wanted to go up to late models.
Oh, dirt late models.
Dirt late models. And so she was selling her dirt street stock. And so I had to have it.
Uh-oh.
That's where the wheels came in.
Right, the wheels starts. Now, Dad, you're welcome back into the race team.
Well, don't tell him. And, Dad, if you're listening, I might have spent some of my college money.
The things the fathers find out later.
Yeah. But, and it's better,
you know, come clean years later.
Yeah, you can't ground me now.
Yeah, what do they say? Like, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission, right?
Yeah. I sold my dirt bike, too.
Right now, you're getting written out of the will for just admitting to that.
Cindy's like, there's a will?
Okay.
So the street stock opportunity came up.
So I got Rookie of the Year that year. It was such a blast.
Really? So you ended up coming up with money somehow. And then you guys were able to purchase the
car. I didn't even have a truck or trailer to get it to the track.
No, you just know you had to have a car.
I had to have that car, too.
Wow.
Not just any race car.
That
I had to have her car.
It was her car.
Yeah. She was so inspiring. 24.
24.
Cool. 23, maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
And she unfortunately passed away 5 years after that. But she definitely was my inspiration, you know, rather than wait till you have the money.
You know, sometimes that's what drives us, the excitement of, hey, we want something. Let's just get it. We'll worry about the repercussions later.
Right.
So you end up with a car. No,
so then
trailer,
we were a three-car team because it was my brother and his friend and then me. So we started Clark Racing Team. We had our little hats. And
I know you're skipping a lot of stuff there, but
yeah, she is skipping a lot of stuff, and we'll go back to
that. We'll get back to that. But anyway, yeah. So now all of a sudden you're a three-car team.
Yeah, so that was fun. We did that the first year. Then my brother moved to North Carolina to make it big in racing.
Really?
So,
is this from his experience at that dirt track?
Yeah,
we started
meeting all the other drivers, and
okay.
There was a driver that had won like the West Coast Championship, and so he wanted to make his name on the East Coast, which is where you go if you want to make it.
But he was also into the dirt.
Yeah, that was dirt, right.
Okay.
And they had a machine shop, so he moved with that family to North Carolina.
Interesting.
To pursue racing.
Okay.
Leaving me behind to figure out how to make my race car faster.
Still in college, right?
Still in college.
Okay.
Still working a day job or weekend job. I'd race Friday nights, and then I'd get up and go to work Saturday, Sunday, and school again. But it's such a family sport, you know, racing is, that there was always somebody coming up the driveway to help me turn a wrench.
That's
or
cool.
You have lots of cheater bars for the ones I can't get off by myself. And we welded a lot of, you know, I learned how to weld just because you have to. And
now, did you go to college near where you lived? I mean, did you use, was your garage or your family's garage?
Yeah,
Dad's garage?
It's the race car garage, not your garage.
Okay, race car garage. Okay.
Threw the poor man out of his garage.
We did, and
he had a job to do is to scrape the mud and supply the garage, the tools and garage, yeah.
We even put race car shop at the top, and then when you'd be mad, he's like, let me remind you that's my garage. I'm like, no, it says race car shop. Race car shop. For sure. Yeah, kick him out of his garage. But he had 5 acres. Go find another
location. Right. You got plenty of room out there. Build another garage. This is a race car shop.
What was so cool, though, is I got sponsorship. So I learned, since I didn't have any money, it's like, well, people want to pay to be on my race car. And I probably asked 200 businesses if they want to sponsor me. And people were like, how can you, I couldn't even ask. It's like, yeah, but you'll never get a yes if you don't ask. And
right.
I just wanted to race so bad. I didn't mind the no's because out of 100, I would get a yes.
Right.
And so I raced on other people's money for 12 years.
Wow.
You know, overall.
You know, and that's absolutely right. You know, sponsorship is so important and more so for some than others, that you wanted it so bad that, hey, I'm going to ask. If I get a no, no problem. You
99
know, people,
no's was okay to
right.
that one.
Zero, if you ask zero, you're going to get zero.
And what was so cool, too, is most of my sponsors never even saw me race. Like,
right.
they weren't doing it for the racing.
They were just doing it to help.
They were
help
doing it
out.
Because of what I brought to their business.
Okay.
Like, I had a barbecue sponsor, and he kind of looked like Willie Nelson. So I made these dollar bills and put his face on it, and we called them barbecue bucks.
Oh,
and my
cool.
good friend Mike Dewar, he was my number one fan turned crew member. He kept asking me for my autograph every single week. I was like, dude, if you're that interested, why don't you just be on the team? He's like, oh, I don't know how to work on cars. I'm like, can you scrape mud?
Dad, you're fired.
Dad,
yeah, here.
Until we need your money, you're fired, Dad.
We'll see you at the race car shop.
Somebody gives me another shop, you're the right. Acceleration.
Well, that's cool. You know, I always love those stories where you get fan into, you know, that moves into racing, you know, from just sitting in the seat spectating. They love it so much, and they end up, you know, as a either crew member or a racer or something like that. So that's cool that you brought this person on. And
I made up different things too, like we started a Dash for Cash, because then they had the American Stock class, and those guys didn't race for any money at all. But sometimes in talking
trophy class.
Yeah. Yep. But sometimes I would talk to some companies that weren't sure how to, if they wanted to, you know, give me money to put on my race car.
Right.
So I said, well, why don't you sponsor the Dash for Cash? For $50, we'll announce you as the Dash for Cash sponsor for one night. You can try it out. And that's what we'd do. We would, I'd make these little flyers. I got to announce it at the driver's meeting.
Cool.
And then Mike would go up and down the stands and pass out coupons, barbecue bucks, the Dash for Cash information. And then the American Stock guy got $50, so they were happy too.
So they're like in the Cindy Clark.
Yeah, that was a good group of guys for sure. So even with Mike too, he helped me with all kinds of other programs. Like, we started a trophy presentation, because they didn't even have a trophy girl or nothing. Like, what?
Now you're thinking of these ideas not because of experience you've seen at another track. These are just things that you thought, hey, this track is missing. I think it could
and
use.
This is still Watsonville we're talking about.
This
right.
is still Watsonville. Well, so what happened is I wanted to learn how to go fast. So I read everything I could find on racing. And most of what you find on racing is, well, it's all about sponsorship. And
right.
how do you add value to the sponsorship so they give you money so that you can race? Like, my motive is racing. But their motive, they could care less if I'm racing or not.
Right.
They want more exposure for their business. So I just read a bunch, everything I could find on sponsorship. I learned, like, Roger Penske had, like, a hospitality crew. So we started a hospitality crew.
Cool. Cool.
I'm greeting the fans when they'd come in. We put a driver of the week. So they wouldn't have to mud pack because no one wanted a mud pack. So if you were the driver of the week, you didn't have to mud pack, and you got to bring
sweet.
Your car to the front. And then that way the fan could see the driver. So if the fan connects with the driver, guess who they're going to root for that night?
Exactly.
And then
right.
you're going to have more people, and then the kids get excited, like, oh, I met the driver so much
right.
hard. That's, you know, if there's even if I got sponsors, if there's no one in the stands to see it, that's not going to help me.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to put lots of people in the stands. I'm going to get lots of sponsors. I'm going to start all these programs. We even did a commercial. There's like five girls that raced that year. I was the only one in street stocks, and then there was a couple in American stocks, and there was a demolition derby gal. We got to film a commercial. It was all of us at my barbecue
wow,
sponsor because he had a bar that looked
really
like
cool.
it was a bar, and we'd be like, hey, what are you doing Friday night? And it's like, oh, well, then come out, watch us race.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really fun. And the Speedway, you know, to their credit, they kind of gave me carte blanche. They're like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Go ahead, try it.
Hey, it helps fill the stands. And you know what? That's something that a lot of people forget is you're doing it because it's something you saw missing, not because you were looking for anything out of it. It's just something you wanted to help.
Let's be honest. I wanted to race a car.
Well, exactly. And you knew in a roundabout way you're going to get that back. You're going to get the fans. You're going to get the support of the track. And obviously that leads to you being able to race without having money out of pocket as much.
Because I didn't have any. Because I already maxed
exactly.
out my credit cards buying the car.
Well, she read on how to go fast. She wanted to go faster. You get sponsors. You get money.
Right.
Money turns into speed.
Right. in any racing
just,
sport.
It's
right.
just the domino effect.
Sure.
That's all working. No money, no fast. That's all there is to it.
Right.
It's fast, no money if you don't start with it. So,
how long were you at Watsonville? How long did you race there as a superstock?
6 years, I think. Maybe 5 years. I got second in points. I really wanted that championship that year, but the guy that won, cheater. He had to have been cheating. There's no way.
Any winner
no
has
way.
To be cheating, right?
I would do the perfect lap, like not even flinch, like super perfect qualifying lap, and then he'd go out and bobble. I'd be like, oh, I got that. No, he'd still beat me.
Wow.
So he must have had something in the rear end that
did you ever go up,
of it.
Go up to him or up to his car? And
no, I hated
at
him.
Or?
No, we're
yeah. Who doesn't hate the winner, right?
No, they respected me, and that's all you can ask for.
That's pretty cool.
Did you win a big race over there in Watsonville?
I won second in the big race. I got second place in the.
What was the big race?
There was a $5,000 to win open comp show.
Wow, open comp, cool.
Guys from all over came: Colorado, Alaska. We had like 250
no kidding.
Street stocks
at Watsonville.
At Watsonville,
that
we had
really
a G
cool.
name.
How about 100 lapper? Did you win that one?
I did not win the 100 lapper.
No, you didn't.
I didn't win the 100 lapper.
So how much was second? First was 5,000.
Was it 2,500?
Oh, hey, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good take home.
Is, right. You know that. What? How many years ago? I'm trying to stay off age here.
I know. Yeah.
Just a couple years ago.
Yeah. Nine.
I know you're only 20.
I was the 94 rookie of the year. At Watsonville Speedway.
That is cool.
And
94, they handed out $2,500.
Yeah,
that's a
big deal.
Yeah, that's a lot
deal.
Of money.
Yeah. The other big race was at San Jose Speedway, which is now closed, unfortunately. That was a half mile dirt track.
Oh. Was that your first big,
yes.
like, other track period, and it was a half mile?
Yes.
No kidding.
Well, Santa Maria, that's another good
Oh, you went to Santa Maria.
Yeah.
That's still around.
That's
yeah.
a quarter
yeah.
mile,
yeah.
yeah. But nice clay. San Jose was more dry slick. But it was open. you could have a bigger motor, you could have your cheater motor, and you could have beadlocks all the way around, so you could just spin it. And I always made the main event. And that, again, there was like F and G and I
wow.
mains. And
that's pretty cool.
So just, I remember one year, the track was so rutted, the way I made the main was to go slow on the bottom, because everybody else, you got your big motors, you're all hyped up, you get to go fast, but they'd fly right off the end of the track. And, you know, I remember my crew chief telling me, like, go slow on the bottom. I'm like, what? Go slow? I'm telling you, go slow on the bottom. I'm like, no, I want to.
I want to race.
Yeah,
I got
my
go
four
fast.
Six in here. Let's go. He's like, I'm telling you, go slow on the bottom. I'm in the main. So that was a lot of fun. Those are the good times. Up all night because you get wrecked, so then you got to replace because you got the race again the next day, so you're like up all night changing the fuel pump.
So what, when the opportunity came up to race up at San Jose, did you just jump on it, or did you think twice about it, like, hey, we're coming from, you know, a quarter mile track, I don't know if I want to attack something that
I was
big.
I was obnoxious. I wanted to race anything with an engine. So
wow.
If you had a car, I was up on you. Like, can I drive your car? Can I drive your car?
Right.
Are you driving your car? Are you driving your car in an open show? Can I drive your car in an open show? I put sponsoring in the packets for other drivers. It's like, look, you know, I can tell you're not going to drive the open show. Do you want me to drive your car for you? Look, I'll bring this to the table. I was obnoxious pretty much. I would want to drive that bad.
Is that the squeaky wheel, you know?
Yeah, well, I met this guy. He had a 360 sprint car. Like, oh, dude, you got to let me drive the car. He's like,
that must
well,
have been Santa Maria.
No, San Jose.
Oh, really?
Show.
Oh,
I
wow.
To drive
for the big, that big track. No way. That's cool.
Yeah.
Did you end up
no.
landing that? What
was
shame,
your,
shame to
what
that guy.
What was your superstar? What kind of car was that?
It was
what
a
was
70
that?
Camaro.
Okay.
Yeah. And there I had a junkyard sponsor, and so they would just give me whole entire cars. So just take the
I know, we
off.
Love sponsors like that.
Oh, we love
those
them.
Days
yeah.
are almost gone. But
and
junkyard
think,
sponsors are very, very important in racing.
Yeah.
Very important.
Especially street stock type racing.
Yeah.
I think they had a cornerstone sponsor for racers to have that junkyard sponsor.
You couldn't do without it.
No.
Can you imagine having to buy bumpers every week?
Oh, man.
Aye, aye, aye.
I like mean, Camaros? Not that I wrecked every week.
You never used your bumper, right? It's all
hey.
Your back bumpers. Back bumper, no.
And dirt, Robin's race.
Hey, remember
so,
that, guys. These guys don't believe
right front
in that.
Corner.
Yeah.
It's the right front corner bumper that you use up the most.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So 6 years at Watsonville. And did you ever get into that 360 sprint?
No.
No.
So he wanted other than sponsor things. So.
Like? $5,000 down, sign here for damage.
No,
if I
like
had new
he wanted me to be his girlfriend.
Oh.
So I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
Oh.
Next.
I'll just stick to my straight side. So what happened is I got a sponsor. There was a guy that sponsored a Grand America Modified, which became the feature division at that track. And he really wanted to go tour racing. And the driver that he was sponsoring, the guy's wife wouldn't let him go tour racing. So here's obnoxious me, because I'm talking to anybody that has a business. We sponsor my car. We sponsor my car. He's like, you know what? I'll help you out a little bit. So he spent a year kind of helping me out and noticed how smooth I was on dirt. And he said, have you ever thought about pavement? And I go, well, no, that sounds really boring because you got to slow down for the corners. Because on dirt, you just pitch it sideways.
That's right. Get into it.
Turn right, go left.
But what I realized is if I did want to move up in racing, and before I thought I'd be a good right and left driver, but there's no one in the stands. And at that
right.
time, NASCAR was the hottest thing. And there's people in the stands to see the sponsorship. So unless I was independently wealthy and had to use sponsors, I needed to put my sponsors in front of people, and that was NASCAR. So he suggested I look at pavement. So I built a pavement street stock and went to Madera Speedway, and I won my third race out.
Wow. And what was that? Another Camaro?
It was another Camaro. With the cage built by Dana Stahl,
wow.
who I contend moved to Vegas to help me, but then he never did. Dana. Dana actually taught me how to weld because he had a shop in Watsonville. And every day after school, on my way home, I'd stop by there because there was a tour car in there.
Wow.
And
can I play with the tour car?
Exactly.
Can I play with the tour car?
Yeah, I just want to sit down. Yeah.
Totally.
Tour car.
Yeah.
I did mention I was obnoxious, right? So, and I'd go to all the races that I could drive to that the tour went to, and they'd let me score, and they'd let me, like, paint the lug nuts. So I was a total pit lizard for sure. And then, but my brother was used as a welder. So when he moved away, you know, I was like, I'll learn how to weld this stuff by myself. And Dana would be like, go in the back, find a bunch of scrap metal and weld it together. And I'm kidding you not. His shop was huge, like like a quarter mile away. I'd be in the back welding and he'd be in the front selling parts. And he'd come all the way back and be like, oh, well, you're not close enough. I'm like, what? How do you know that? See, so that's how I learned how to weld. He taught me. So luckily I used that skill a lot. So anyway, so when I went to race on pavement and figured out the good thing about having the dirt experience is that, you know, when you race on pavement and you get it out of shape and you get all sideways, I wasn't scared. Whereas my competitors were, they'd lift. Yep. I wouldn't. I just steer into
it.
Drive
it out. Dirt tracking it. I call it dirt tracking
it
out.
Dirt tracking it out. Yep. I learned how not to make it dirt track. That's not the fastest way around. But the point is, in a race, if I got loose, I wasn't scared.
If you got bumped and turned sideways, you could drive it out.
Right. So that was to my advantage because, you know, if I was totally sideways, they just kind of got out of my way.
In their mind, they're like, oh, crap, what you going to do?
So that kind of showed me, hey, you know what? And so I did mention I was obnoxious, right, and talked to everybody I know. So Bill McAnally, he came to our track to do a Napa showcase with Sean Woods. I was his driver at the time. I was like, you got to let me drive a car. Can I drive a car? Can I drive a car? What is your next one? And he's like, well, you know, I'm moving to Vegas to work with Brendan Gaughan. I like what you're doing with all this marketing. Why don't you come help us with marketing?
Wow,
I was like, well,
that's cool.
If I do, can I drive your race car? He's like, well, we'll see. So I packed up my little Toyota Corolla and quit my job of 11 and a half years. I worked at the Miami Aquarium and drove to Vegas to do marketing for Orleans Racing.
Did you finish college? If you don't mind me asking.
Mostly.
Yeah,
I finished all the, I did get my bachelor's in biology and environmental studies.
Well, you know what, and think about that, like when you rewind a little bit and think about the experience you got from marketing just because the need that you had to have for racing, and it turned into a career, you know, who would have thought, right?
Right, I think they call it an addiction.
Yeah, it is an addiction, but both parts, the racing, and the being obnoxious, of course.
Right.
Oh,
and
she
then,
hasn't mentioned that yet.
Wonder Woman is a speed junkie. We're all speed junkies. It's that six.
And,
that
you know,
need.
I was in recovery until TJ Clark came along.
Okay, so, you know, we're
in recovery.
Now you went,
what? There is no recovery for that.
Apparently not.
Now you went from dirt, built an asphalt car, raced up in Madera. How long did you race it? Was
just
Madera
year.
The track that just for that one year?
Just that one
and
year.
Got third.
I'm not sure where I finished in points,
okay.
But I won the third time out. I got third my first time out. I was like, oh, I can do this. And then I won. I beat the track champion on my third race. So it was on. You know, like, oh, I'm.
So then at that point, you were the cheater because you won. Everybody's
well,
like, she's cheating.
No, I think I just wanted it that bad. Like, once you win, once you get that first win and you have that taste, there's a certain amount of confidence or something that you have.
You start seeing that pattern in a lot of people. Once they get that first win, it just seems like it repeats itself.
You
maybe
know
not
how much
consecutively,
it takes.
but it comes more often than not.
Right.
So, no, that's cool. So Madera, you raced 1 year. And then from there,
I moved to Vegas.
Vegas, wow.
I know. It was hard. I did the Lynn St. James Driver Development Program. I remember asking her, I was like, okay, I have this opportunity to work for a Winston West team.
Oh, wow.
But not as a driver, or continue this path with the sponsors I have and race on pavement. And, you know, that was like, if I step out of the car now, am I ruining my career or will it better my career? And there's only one way to really find out. So, I figured if I didn't do it, I'd never really know.
Right.
So I just threw caution in the wind, moved to Vegas by myself.
Wow.
Got a little apartment. I ate a lot of 69-cent tacos.
I thought you were gonna say top ramen, but
well, they've got that, you know, the tacos that were 69 cents.
Yeah,
two tortillas. Mm-hmm. You can separate those two tortillas. Now you got two tacos.
See, that's funny.
I ate that a lot.
What we do to go racing?
Yeah.
What we've done. To go race.
Well, that's cool. You took a gamble and moved to, of course, a gambling town in Vegas. And
so I got to know the industry, the people, what it takes to race on a higher level. The West Series. I got to tour, obviously, with the team. That was a a lot of fun.
Now, you were working with the team, but you weren't in the race car locally or touring at all.
I did mention I was agnostic, though, right?
Yep.
So I was
always
in the shop.
So you're still trying to get into the seat.
I got kicked out of the shop a lot. And you leave the guys alone.
Here, go to the store and get this.
And this was with Orleans Racing at the time.
Right. And it was Herschel McGriff, who was one of NASCAR's 50 greatest drivers ever. So it was, is a marketing dream come true. My first professional marketing job, I have Herschel McGriff. How hard is that?
You could sell that, right?
I'm pretty sure we were on the front page of every sports newspaper that year ever.
That's right.
Yeah, and so I got to know all the media, all the tracks, all the people, all the officials. And I also was working on sponsorship for the team. So when Bill McNally moved back to California, I knew those sponsors. So Sierra Springs, Channel 3.
Yes.
Nevada House of Hoes.
Yes.
Guess who's on my race car then?
Right.
So I just formed, you know, those relationships became, well, I'm going to go racing now. So
that brings us to the track.
Ring.
It wasn't the bull ring at the time. When you started out there. What year was that? When I first went out there, it was the Las Vegas Speedrome or something like that back. And then before that was the whatever Las Vegas Speedway or something. I don't know, but it's changed a few times. But so it was the bullring when you went out there. What year was that? You think
2001?
But okay.
2001.
2000. I thought
2000.
I moved here in 2000 to work for Brendan.
So right around there.
But I did a radio show in Monterey, a sports talk radio show. So I might have did the radio show before I was a driver with you.
No, you were driving.
I was driving.
No, you were driving.
And so that was another one where I was obnoxious. Like, oh, you have an extra race car? Can I drive a race car?
So this is an 0-0 or 0-1. Yeah, okay.
I'm pretty sure it was 2000.
What type of car was it?
Super late model.
Super late
model. It was
a
Resnicki racing car. They were selling their extra car. And I said, well, look, how about not sell it? How about I bring some sponsorship to the team and I drive it? So they were like, let's try that.
That works,
so
right?
Me and Little Bear Resnicki, we were sponsored by Channel 3. And we had matching little cars and did commercials for them. And we got Lamar's Donuts and we went to all their donut stores with our
Lamar's
race cars.
Lamar's Donuts.
You don't hear that.
Lamar's Donuts. All this stuff before 2000 and the radio shows, that show is all about NASCAR.
Mostly the big leagues.
And push all big leagues. And we never really got into that and stay with bullring. We never did.
Local.
You know, we did some single interviews, but I never knew you ran on dirt.
This
is something,
is that crazy?
You know,
wow.
That you ran on dirt. And
you've only known
stocks,
17 years and you're just finding out. JJ, shame on you.
It was a different show. You know, we never really got that personal to where she came from or where I came from.
Right.
Nothing. It was another radio show that was focused, and we did some local stuff, and that's what got Cindy into our show, was that the Channel 3 and all these, you know, Lamar's Donuts. I don't mean to interrupt, but just those sponsors, you know, that are, and, you know, Dana Stahl and all the sponsors she brings up. It just, I'm old. I forgot. You know.
You're old,
because
she's obnoxious.
Yeah,
hey,
right.
What the hell?
She hasn't said that yet, so hold on.
It was a metallic blue number 3.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we even have Bonnie Spring.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, first time in a super late model?
Yeah.
A car of that magnitude, I guess, jumping up from a street stock into a super late model. What was that like? What was that experience for the first time?
Well, it was frustrating at first because I want to win, and so the car wasn't.
You got practice, I guess, on practice nights and so on. You were able to get in the car and all that.
So it's the same, though. It doesn't matter what you race. It could be a big wheel or a tricycle. You just want to win. You know, you want it to go fast.
Sure.
So it just was another, you know, the track's a little bit bigger here than Madera, so just it's all relative. So, yeah, you get to go faster, but then you have to slow down more in the corners, and you got to make that car go into the corner better.
Did you get a lot of coaching from Resnicki?
He's an amazing driver. Yeah, he did some, but he's really busy.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, because during that time, Res was real big out there. Universal Machine.
He
had,
was racing too.
Right.
He raced.
And there was
another guy on our team, and then Bear.
Yeah, okay.
And Bear's not so little anymore.
Yeah. quite a driver, yeah. Good team. And then I bought my own car with my tax return the following year.
A hell of a tax return.
Yeah. Let's run some numbers.
Hey, what
here.
About that sponsorship you were talking about earlier?
Now, we're going to be annoying.
Well, my tax return, I barely get two tires.
You got to pay for it.
Yeah.
Out of pocket.
Shit, with my tax return, I get McDonald's.
Now, back then, who do you remember the most racing against during that time out at the Bo-Ring and the Super Late Models? Yeah, who gave you the best time and the worst time, I guess?
I would admire Thane Alderman because he was so smooth and, like, understated. Like,
okay.
He wasn't real flashy about it. He just was always there winning.
Yeah.
And he was just smooth, and I felt like he was a good racer.
That's the world-famous Thane Alderman.
Yes.
Gary, by the way.
The world-famous
hero.
Alderman.
So.
Yeah.
And Cobb, Dick Cobb, right?
And Dick,
yep.
Well, I didn't get to see. I drove a Dick Cobb car, but he wasn't driving by
the
time I started racing.
Okay. That's,
he was
that's,
renting
that's,
them out.
Right.
That was
okay.
About
that
time he transitioned.
Okay.
Thane was driving for him.
I think he was, yeah. Yes.
That was 98, 99.
Right.
Right.
Cobb was still
Dick had won
yeah.
The Sun Belt region
in 2000.
Right.
Yeah, in
okay.
2000 yes. He won the regional championship.
So I was just after that then.
Right.
And then I hated Mike Cooper.
That guy was fast, huh?
Yes.
No, he was obnoxious, more than me.
More obnoxious than you, okay.
He would actually call all my sponsors and try and get them to sponsor him because
oh,
he was a 49er
funny.
Kicker. And
I guess
so
we don't. I guess we don't like the 49ers, huh?
Well,
no, I didn't like.
He don't. She don't like nobody going after her sponsor. Is what it is. They're taking money
it's
out of her,
enough,
her pocket.
No,
exactly.
Yeah, he was prettier and taller and faster ever. But also, as a driver, it's like, okay, if you have a lot of money and your car is fast, it doesn't mean you can drive through people.
True.
And that's what I liked about, like, Thane. Thane wouldn't drive through you. He was patient, and he would just pass you. There's a difference. Whereas, you know, like, Cooper, like, one night I had a flat or something, and so I went high so they could pass me on the inside. He made it a point to scrape my car all the way down while he passed me. Seriously? You're
that's,
already laughing at me. That already hurts. And
that's because you're being obnoxious.
But he's more obnoxious.
Now you race with Lance Megan and George Antill also.
That's right. George, I got a funny story with George. When I raced at Madera Speedway in my street stock, I got a picture taken of me next to my car, which I ended up using for my autograph cards.
Right.
George's car is in the background. They paid George to come and race that night in the late model.
Okay.
So I actually, before I moved here, did the Richard Petty driving experience, and George was my instructor, and I was like,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
George, you're in my picture.
Yeah,
so I
funny.
Had, yeah, so we like, we go way, way back. Yeah.
George was out here at Petty when Tracy and I, T-Mail, went out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
pretty cool.
He's still
George,
doing it.
Yeah. George scared the living crap out of me.
Oh,
I'm telling you.
Did you drive with
about that.
George? Yeah, but was I was with George?
I was passenger,
oh, okay.
And we did three laps. Oh. And Petty brought us out there. They sponsored our show. And T-Man went with somebody, and I went with George. And T-Man took one look at me getting out of the car. He asked if I was okay. And it was
flush.
Was, I was white.
You're right.
I was white.
No, that's funny.
Okay, because I mean, if I could take my hand off the bar that I was holding onto, okay, I could have reached out, touched the friggin' wall.
Wow.
I mean, George put it right there. Okay, he had so many laps around the speedway, and that was before they changed the banking and everything.
And
George,
this was before you
George,
actually
George,
were racing?
Yes.
So that
yeah,
was
this
before
was
you
before
even got
the bombers.
The
this
wow.
Was, this is 2000.
That's funny.
He scared the living crap out of my ass. And I got out of there, and I sat down and had some water and caught my breath. And it was at that point that I said, every NASCAR driver, every race car driver is an athlete.
You gain respect.
All there is to it.
Respect,
how
obviously.
These guys go and do this for 100, 200, 300 laps, okay, is beyond
inches
me.
Away from another car.
Yeah. And they're driving. I'm holding on to my ass. That's all I'm doing.
You left
okay.
it in the car when you got out.
Oh, I left out. Blood pressure, everything. Color. Yep. But that was George Antel. He's fantastic guy. Sorry to interrupt.
No, I'm glad you said it. Right then,
worked for Richard Petty Driving Experience for 8 years and got to give rides, but I would only give those kind of rides if they were like a jerk to me. Like if they're like, oh, it's a girl driver. I was really close to the wall.
So did you race locally first in the Super Late Model before you worked at Richard Petty? Or
yes,
because
my thought was,
time?
I'm going to need big track experience.
Right.
So
how'd you swing that? That's a big deal, working at Richard Petty.
You know, I mentioned I'm a noxious rider.
Yeah.
Go there, bug him all the time. It was like, Jason Allen was the general manager then.
Jason
and
Allen.
And he raced Super Late Models.
Yeah.
So he... You know, I raced against him, so he knew I could drive a car. So, you know, they put me on pit road for a year in 120 degree weather. But, you know, I started at the bottom and worked my way up to instructor.
Right.
Sweet. Cool.
That's another name, Jason Allen.
Yeah. Way back. So then, so you worked there at Richard Petty, but then you were also racing locally at the Bullring during that same time. What are some of the accomplishments that you remember from around that time, some of your first ones? From being in a super late model on your first win or your first big altercation?
So, unfortunately, my memorable moment, one included the time when I hit the wall on the driver's side. So I'm coming out of turn two and there's a car spun out down below. So I swerved to miss him and it made the car spin the other way and hit the wall on the backstretch on the driver's side.
Wow. And them side hits are really,
those pancakes
really
are
hard.
I'd rather go straight in.
Yeah.
I'd rather go 45. I've been pancaked, and that's one of the worst hits that I feel a driver can take.
Might have been knocked out. I had to get rid of that helmet and that seat. And I guess my crew chief was talking to me on the radio, which I didn't respond to for a while, but I remember the safety crew asking me, you know, well, what's my name? Which I knew is on my racing.
Right.
I'm like, oh. And they're like, and what day is it? I'm like, well, it's race day.
Perfect answer. It's race day.
Can't go wrong there. Wait, race car? Oh, it's race day. That's where I am.
And my name's on the door.
Yeah, can you see?
Can you read? It's up here.
And then back then there was a program where we breed to second graders.
Yes. Yep.
And the next day, or that next Monday, me and one of the crew from the Resin Wiki team, we were supposed to take the car and read to second graders. I couldn't read.
Wow.
And I couldn't remember where I put the keys, and I couldn't remember.
Yeah, a little concussion going on there. Yeah.
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 So that was
probably your first wall experience, huh?
I raced on dirt. So I did see the wall a lot.
But not,
a dirt car.
I guess it's a little different when you hit in dirt.
Dirt's forgiving.
Right.
Well, I mean, wall's not, you know, dirt is a little bit more forgiving going in.
Yeah.
Pavement, a lot faster, a lot harder.
Right. I triple barrel rolled in my street stock on dirt and still put a new tire on it and finished the race.
So you didn't even tell us about that.
Yeah.
That's what we want to hear. What's it like in the circus?
So my right wheel broke as I'm ready to pitch it sideways into turn three, and the wheel actually broke. Like where you bolted in the center was still bolted in there.
The wheel broke.
Launched the car. And I just remember I was going for second place and I was like, yeah. And all of a sudden my car like, pa-wah. And I'm up in the air going, dang it, I'm not going to win. And then it lands. It's like, ooh, that hurt. And then it's up in the air again. I was like, what?
And then
it lands again.
You didn't have a clue like where you were at the time
that
was happening?
Absolutely.
You knew?
I could see the lights and the stands. And and I was bummed. That's all I remember. I was like, bummed. And then it actually hurt when you land. And three times.
Which way did you land?
On my wheel.
Wow.
I got out of the car. I assessed the damage. They towed me in. I put another tire wheel on it.
No way. Wow. Where'd you finish? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember a lot.
But you went back on the track. That's pretty cool. Yeah,
I think I only remember that because my stepdad taped it, so I got to watch the race. But I was pretty dingy.
So there's video out there somewhere of that. We'll have to find that somehow.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Those are the big ones. But actually, I'm pretty good at avoiding wrecks, which I think you'll notice if you watch my skid plate racing.
Well, yeah,
you're a natural.
Well,
I was surprised I watched a skid plate racing. Okay, now it adds up. She started on dirt.
Right.
That's all there is to it.
So what happened?
Taking a car to the right.
And that's why TJ Clark owns the car that I drive. And it's also sponsored by Downtown Transmission. Thank you, Rigo. Because the first night I went out there, the transmission broke. So I didn't get to race the first night. And then Rigo at Downtown Transmission, if you ever need any transmission work, he's the best.
Definitely.
He fixed me up, got me back out there. And, yeah, so we've just been the corners were easy for me. And the first time this kid played car, I was like, oh, I got this, got this. The straightaways were insane.
Well, for a lot of us, we haven't seen your name for a long time. So at some point you stopped, you went from super late models. What happened after that?
My last race in the super late was the open show.
Okay.
And there was a yellow. So
that
I lift and everybody
that was
left.
2002?
No, that would have been like 2008.
Right. Yeah. Cause you were racing for a while.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it was 2008. And, but the guy down here on the inside, he didn't lift. So he goes barreling into this wreck at the last minute, sees it, turns right into me, slams me into the wall, bends my clip on both sides. And I was like really bummed out. Usually it just means you got to reclip it. But then I met this guy and I fell in love, got married, ruined the whole thing.
One of the marriage. Hold on. I know how that does it.
Then I got divorced. And now I'm racing again.
Okay. See, so marriage ended your racing for a little while.
Got married, everything went to the shitter.
Well, that's why.
Got divorced, finished the shitter, and we're up and rolling.
Well, now that's why we haven't heard of Cindy Clark for a little while. That damn marriage got in the way.
I had to go get a job.
He had nothing. He didn't like racing or nothing
like
that.
No, he felt like it cost too much money.
Well, he's right. The guy's smart. It does cost too much money. But that's where being obnoxious and
asking for sponsorship money
comes into play.
I'm thinking his priorities were all screwed up.
Right.
Yeah, Gary's always on the verge of divorce. So I think we all are.
But I'm never on the verge of debating if my race car needs something.
It was the beginning of this year, but to go back, it was 06, 07. We had taken off down to prom. That's why I didn't know that you were out there till 08. And
that's right. You guys left for a little while there.
I had ran into Cindy, I don't know, 11 or 12. We were at, for some reason, we were back at the bull ring and you were there. You were working with Channel 3 again, if I'm not mistaken, or you were promoting something you were working with. Then I hadn't seen you again. And then it was, I don't know, 3 years ago I had ran into you in took one of my residents for hearing aids. Hadn't seen you then. It was the beginning of this year, and I guess it's since 06 that I had seen you at the racetrack. And you looked fantastic. I was like, oh my God, there's Cindy Clark. I haven't seen her in a shit's age.
Right.
You know, the other way was in a professional manager I had. You know, she was taking care of my resident hearing aid, and it was just very brief, short interaction, you know, and he showed up track and you had such a smile on that you, Gary,
remember the divorce
she was
talking about?
And at the racetrack, and what's there not to smile about?
And it's something that I hadn't seen in so long that she was excited to tell us, well, I'm looking to get into skid plate car and looking for a transmission. This was at the beginning of the season.
That's cool.
And this is, you know, why I put get her on the show.
Right.
People don't know the experience that Cindy has had on the track, off the track. Promoting. Okay. And then here she is back out there, shows up for the 4th of July show with a fully painted, beautiful friggin' skid plate car and just wheeling that thing around. And she's happier than,
you know what? And
it could be. It was a surprise to see you at the beginning of the year just to be in your environment and getting your.
And it's fitting. It's fitting that she's deemed
that's
Wonder Woman.
That's from the heart. It was great to see you again. And I'm glad you're here. Really,
thank you.
I am. You know,
that's
back
cool.
in the groove.
Unfortunately, it took a tragedy, which I won't go into too much detail, but I was in a relationship for 5 years, and he unexpectedly passed away last year.
Sorry to hear that.
I don't know what I would have done without TJ and Debbie Clark. They had lost their son, you know, Spencer Clark, 10 years ago. And they actually had known him before, so they kind of came to my rescue, I think, is how you, is how I would say.
Well, the Clarks have hearts.
They
did. There's no doubt about that.
And I'd known them from the track, but I wouldn't say we were friends. We obviously were friends on Facebook and stuff, but I don't know what I would have done without them, honestly, because I had no brain at that time. And they just took my hand and helped me through it all. And TJ was trying to grow the skid plate car class because the bullring needs more people out there. They need to engage the fans more.
In an entertainment class like that, that's perfect. Yeah.
And he said, you know, I know you've got, I've seen you race a super. I know you got dirt track experience. You might be really good at this. Would you drive one of my skid plate cars? I'm like, yeah.
You don't have to ask twice, right? Ask once. Was that even
happened.
A thought before that of getting back in a race car? I mean, have you thought about that?
Well, yeah, I was thinking about it.
It never goes away.
Yeah, it never goes away. Okay.
Once you're
I mean,
you
must have missed it, I guess.
Well,
being
sure.
Out
I mean, I can't even drive normal, like even on the street. Like I have a lead foot. I have a problem.
Oh, that's
admitting.
You out there tailgating and honking the horn.
I've done figure eight. I'm not going to lie. I'm prepared for the traffic out here.
See, she keeps popping up these things. Figure eight racing. Where?
Well, Watsonville had figure eight.
Okay.
And it
was it a points part of their points race?
They had their own points class. Absolutely. And you also got $25 just to start. So if you're a poor, broke college student racing
you're
street stock,
figure eight
you
race.
Get $25 to start. The street stock, you get $25 to start figure eight. That's $50.
That pays entry.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's
for the next race. Yeah,
I get to do laps for nothing.
If
just
my
gas.
Mom was in the stands, though, she hated the figure eight. So I would just pull off after a couple laps. And because even if you finish last, you got $29.
Wow.
But if mom wasn't there,
you
mom,
get
are you listening?
Yeah, that's cool. Mom, aren't you busy tonight?
Turn the radio down.
You see me race once already. You don't need to be out here. Yeah.
Dad's just sitting there saying, don't bring that damn car to the garage.
Yeah.
And I don't have to clean mud anymore.
That's
good, exactly. Race pavement. I don't have to clean mud.
Now she hands him a hose and a bucket.
No, I have to say, my parents were great. I mean, they're both school teachers. They're both ultra-conservative, don't drink, smoke, party, nothing. My dad, like, sings opera. And my mom hates loud noises. And here I am, their oldest girl, driving a dirt street stock, loud, obnoxious. But they were my biggest fans. You know, my mom's. She had like a cheer in the stands and got people to do it. It was super embarrassing. And my dad, you know, he's not.
We know where
mechanic.
Cindy gets it from.
And my dad, he can't turn a wrench to save his life, and he's
weird,
out there
right?
trying.
That's because he's a school teacher.
Yeah, he can solve a mathematical equation,
right.
Which we needed to figure out the final that you know the
sure.
best final to run at the track. So you know when
that's
you go to run the track, so you need it not. Not knocking that, Dad. But.
We all have our place.
Give me that scraper back, Dad. I got something else for you.
Yeah. Figure out what you're
wearing.
What's
the coefficient of drag on a skid plate car, Dad?
Right.
You can figure that out for sure.
Were they mad when you like said, "Hey, I'm moving to Vegas to go racing and stuff like
that"?
Well,
I never really talked to them. I just do stuff.
Again, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
We got the preacher's daughter here. Parents set one guidelines. Daughter breaks all guidelines.
Right.
I honestly don't know how they survived my teenagers.
Dad probably says, man, I get my garage back.
Yeah, exactly right. Thank you, Vegas.
What's he going to put in it?
A car. His wife's car, maybe? Mom's car? No. Well, that's cool. So you ended up here back into skid plate racing and back on the track. What was it like your first time getting in that car?
So
did you
nervous.
Know what to expect?
I was going
to
throw up. I just, like it was my first time racing again.
Come
I
on,
swear.
Dropping in. Come on.
That's
so,
the best part. JJ,
tell me
right, that's
the
best
adrenaline.
Part.
I mean, even on
there's
test.
There's nothing like it.
I mean, you had a bad test out there that Tranny went on you. But just dropping in.
Yeah. At home.
That. Thank you.
Yep. I was like, I got this.
For so many years away, because now, 08, you hadn't raced since 08, and here it is, 17. You know, you're looking at 9 years later,
mm-hmm.
and that's, you know.
I was like, I know this track.
Yep.
I got this.
Yeah. I don't care what it is.
Is that what you felt like when you were on the track? Like, hey, I know this track. I've been on this track
many times. Dropped in on a snowmobile or on a bicycle or something, and just the adrenaline, like, oh my God, I'm in here, and you get a quick flash. It's you go down, and then you get a quick flash, whole peripheral, from where you're dropping in turn two, all the way around to turn one.
Yep.
And it's like a rush.
Mm-hmm. Of course, then I spun out, because in the skid play car, you can actually go straight on the straightaway.
Well, Gary's got that experience. He,
yes, I do.
He actually hit the wall, didn't
he? Yes, I did. I backed it right into the wall.
It was very frustrating the first time, I'm not going to lie.
I wasn't even 12 foot on the track, and I backed it into the wall.
Yeah.
Right? If anybody hasn't, and I haven't raced a skid play car, I know it's hard. It's probably easier than it looks. Obviously, everybody thinks, hey, yeah, you can get in one of those, and it's, you know, like nothing, but it's nothing like it looks.
Well, it's a combination of you're laughing your butt off, and then you're frustrated because the car doesn't do what you think it's going to do. Like, you think you want to go straight, and then it's going this way, and then it's going this way, and then it's...
How was it this last race, the past weekend? There's 10 skid plate cars out there. It was exciting, right? Come on. You can talk about it. Good or bad, it's always fun to be on the track, like you said. Sure, you had a smile on your face.
I felt like I should have won that race, and I gave it to TJ.
You know what? I was spectating, and you were probably one of the only ones that was really on it going down them straightaways.
I have to give props to my crew chief and boyfriend, Dennis. He helped me get that car faster. We had a pinched exhaust. The timing was off. I put smaller front tires on it. I want to win. So now I got this addiction. I got this race car. I got to make it go faster, right? I'm like, can we drop a turbo engine there?
Whose idea was it with the Wonder Woman idea?
That was TJ.
Ah,
it was Penelope Pit Stop or Wonder Woman. I showed up at the shop one day, and they had put Wonder Woman on the car. I'm like, all right.
Wonder Woman is hotter than Penelope
Pit Stop.
Probably had 90% of our fans don't even know what the wacky races are.
And what better timing, Wonder Woman out this past year, and
movie,
you know,
came out. That was perfect timing. And then we had a t-shirt launcher, so we launched t-shirts in the crowd. And TJ had smoke, you know, fire coming out of the exhaust.
I know, that was really cool.
Yeah, that was fun.
We know how important sponsors are. Now we're running out of time here. We got about 3 minutes left. We'll give you some time to talk about that, so we don't cut any of them short.
Fifth place. She's sitting in fifth place in points.
Point out of four.
That's right.
Are you serious?
She's just 1 point out of fourth.
We can't tell you how you're going to get to fourth, because that point system is a little more difficult to understand than just looking at the points. But anyways, we won't go there.
Winning cures everything.
Just win, right? That's it.
Just one race. But still, you sit in fifth in points. You're back at the track. You're happier than can be. Okay. What else is there? You have your health. You look great.
Thank you.
Okay, a smile's still on your face.
The only thing better is you can get JJ in a skid plate car.
the Wonder Woman skid plate car.
I think
you
can
be
drive
Woman.
A bomber.
I don't think she don't want you in a car.
You'd love it.
But what sponsors you got out there? You know?
Downtown Transmission.
Downtown Transmission.
Yep. TJ in his shop. Hack Shack Racing. Dennis and his crew. Daughter comes out, his brother comes out, help me. Matt, he was my sponsor. He did my decals, and he was in the 33 Speed Freaks car. So my sponsor turned into a race car driver.
Okay.
This year. I actually know
who that is, by the way. Yeah, that's weird that he's even on the racetrack.
It's my fault.
Really?
I've known him for about 12 years.
Wow, no way.
His wife. And I needed him. So I needed decals, and then he caught the bug.
Cool.
Sometimes it doesn't take much.
And then anybody else? Of course, you've mentioned TJ, of course. So we all know TJ from the track. So anybody else? No? That's it?
Thank Mom and Dad. Got to thank Mom and Dad.
Hey, and again, there's always cut short. We never have enough time. A lot of these little things that end up popping up that we need to know more about. So we're going to have you back on. We know there's a lot more in the time frame of racing. And, of course, there's more racing coming up. When's the next race?
2 weeks.
LVMS. We played 2 years.
Wonder Woman car will be there.
Next week, come to see us at LVMS. We'll be live. thanks, Cindy, for being here, and we're going to have you on another time. But yeah, no problem. Appreciate it.
Love you, girl. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for coming in. Thanks for listening.